everyone. It's Angela Stevens with the podcast Refocus with Angela. And I am so excited to introduce you to this lovely guest today that I met at a conference for women. We just connected. It was really terrific. But she is a tutor. She's so much more than that. And I'm going to introduce you. But her name is Gabrielle Gator. She has such a passion and love for learning that I just immediately clicked with her, because we're all about focusing on this podcast. But she has, she's got a bachelor's degree in communications. She's got two master's degrees. She's got one in education and another in public administration. She's taught in several states, including Texas, New York, and Chicago. She conducts writing seminars for the University of Illinois. She has her own tutoring company. And let me tell you, this girl is on fire. She is just so amazing and fun. So, Gabrielle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Angela. I am so excited to be here.
Great, great. So Gabrielle has a tutoring agency, and that is called the Innovative Learners Tutoring Agency. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Tell us, first of all, I want to talk to you a lot about focusing, but let's talk about that just for a second. What is the Innovative Learners Tutoring Agency?
Absolutely. So the Innovative Learners is basically my brainchild that was born from being a teacher for so long and not being able to reach certain students how I wanted to and the way that I wanted to, because of the way that the education system is set up for some learners who don't learn the same as everyone else. Mm. So I would do things after school with my kids, but you know, my first year of teaching, I was at school until 8 p.m. That is not sustainable. And so my second year, I created the Innovative Learners, and it has blossomed from there. So it is a virtual tutoring agency. We do some in-person events, and basically we tutor reading, math, and writing, sometimes Spanish, to students ages from 5 all the way to, I've worked with 17-year-olds, some adults who want to learn Spanish. So we have really expanded since then.
That's amazing. You know, I'm older, I'm in my 50s, but I remember when I was younger, having a tutor had this stigma of that you needed extra help. And let me tell you, if you have a child today in today's world, when they get near college age, they're going to need a tutor before and after that. So it's a good practice to start with. But I want to talk to you about focusing. And I want to talk to you about kids that, you know, we focus a lot on ADHD, but let's talk about any kids. And let's say you are tutoring somebody that is just kind of bouncing around, especially if it's virtual. How do you get that child to stop and focus?
Absolutely. So just understanding how the human brain works, and not just with children, but even adults listening, they listen every 15 seconds and then they kind of refocus in. So even with kids, you have to speak in very short sentences and, you know, repeat different things that you want them to do. So to get them focused, the first thing we do is kind of take the stigma off of what the session is. So we don't try to make it like, you know, it's a classroom. It's really about the relationship that we're building with that student and having them understand why they're there. Even if they are as young as 5, when they come on the computer, I'm like, do you know why you're here today? Do you know what we're going to do? And that naturally calms their nervous system down so they can know what to expect. And when they do start to get antsy, the younger they are, the more frequent we like take little brain breaks. And sometimes we'll even involve kinetic movement. We play this maze run game in the middle of it. There's a lot of incentives. We do a lot of competitions. So, you know, sometimes parents will hear their kids and they're like yelling and screaming and they're like, I thought they were tutors. So, you know, we really get creative with it. It's really fun.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, it's interesting because my son is in college now, but do you ever have students that come maybe in high school that come to you and they had to be prepared for a project, but they get there and they're not prepared. Like they haven't done anything. I'm so curious. What do you do in those situations?
Yeah. When this, I've experienced more so when I was teaching. So I've always worked with like middle school and high school students. So that is actually my favorite age group. So when I'm working with those kiddos and they are and it can't even, not even just a project, but just having a child like say, I need you to read this book by this date. Okay, they look at the book, there's all these pages, they get overwhelmed, and then procrastination sets in, and it doesn't get done because it's too big of a task. And even us as adults do that. You know, we have these projects and we're like, this is too much. I can't even fathom it, right? So
yeah.
As a, you know, me too.
Yeah.
As adults, we've identified tools that work for us. And we just have to understand that students do not have those tools yet, you know. So what we do is, okay, how much time do we have in this? What is the objective? How can we break this up? Making that student a part of it. What are you good at? You know, maybe you're not good at that research portion, but you are very creative. A lot of students who are not really good at focusing, they love to doodle or, you know, whatever that creative outlet is. We can find whatever their strength is and use it to benefit the objective at hand.
Exactly.
So that's kind of how we tackle that.
I love that so much. We actually put a poll out to some of our listeners to say, what would you like to talk about or what would you like to ask the tutor? And I wrote one of these down. And one of the questions that we got was, my son or daughter does not want to go to a tutor and they need the help. What is a way that you can get them to be excited and to want to go to a tutor? Because the older they get, there's like, it's, you know, they don't want to know anyone. But we had a mother that wrote to us about that. So how do you do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of our ways that we, like, when I'm tutoring, so I had my favorite, we do these little small group intervention groups, right? So having the students work with someone else that is their same age and their same kind of level. A lot of times kids have this mental image of what a tutor is, what they're about to do, all the pressures on them to answer the question. And so that goes back to setting the tone of the session. So a lot of kids, they come in with all of this built up anxiety. We tutor virtually, so maybe they don't have their cameras on, but we let them know it's okay to eat. It's okay to have your LED lights in the background. It's okay to make your own background. So easing into it is what I would say. It's almost like, you know, going on a first date. You're so anxious. You don't know what to expect. You have to make that person like you, you know, yeah, or make them at ease. And that's the same thing we do with students. So finding that relationship building piece, setting the tone, letting them know that it's not like, you know, we're not trying to beat a clock. You don't have to do this by this. We are just here to enhance your skills.
Exactly.
So, you know, setting the tone.
Exactly. So first of all, I want to ask you about you. Like when you have one of those days and you're not focused, how do you start your day? Do you have, let's say you have five kids that you got to meet with that day. How do you manage that? Because let's say you've got, you know, an event to go to that night. You've got things, you're like, how am I going to do this? How do you personally focus?
Yes, me personally, I have a playlist that I put on. I had a grading playlist. I've got an energy. I have a playlist called Caffeinated when I've got my caffeine and I'm feeling excited and energized.
I want your playlist.
Yes, I could definitely share it. I have a Zoom playlist. I used to play music for the students. So I have different. Yeah, yeah.
It's a great idea. I never thought about that. And so maybe that's something that parents can do. When their kids aren't focused, just say, hey, get your playlist and get it going before your session. That could be, another idea.
Exactly.
So that's great. Exactly. Okay. And then the other thing is, are there resources for parents who cannot afford a tutor? And let me say this statement, that as a mother to a ADHD student, tutoring was the best investment I could have ever made, because the thing is what we found with my son, it was back when they started using computers. and they would have a teacher up front. They had their laptop, and then they had their piece of paper. And he could not look at the teacher and the computer and this. It was too much. And so finally, the teacher said, close the computer. The notes are always going to be on the computer. Look at me, take the notes. That is what we did. But I think a lot of students, you know, I think that still exists as a frustration. And so I don't know if you've experienced that with other students.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yes, that's a great idea.
Absolutely.
If you can afford a tutor, find one. If you can find one, ask them about their rate. If you go to them, and I don't know if this is the thing that they should do, but if they are on a low income situation, you know, can they talk to you? Can they talk to somebody? And can they ask, is that something that's appropriate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when I'm not tutoring, I'm constantly working on resources or information for parents to have that can just help them academically. You know, even we're working on releasing lessons so they can do them with them at a self-paced kind of guide. But say if you are, you know, kind of prospecting out and it's just like not in your budget. So you just have to sacrifice. If it's not money, then you're going to have to sacrifice some of your time. And so what that looks like, it might not necessarily be you working with the student, right? Because we've got teachers that went to school to teach, and then, well, most of them, that's a different conversation. And sometimes what I find when parents are trying to do it themselves, they struggle so much because they are like trying to be mom and then trying to be teacher, and it's really difficult.
For single parents. I was a single mom for 10 years. That's really hard.
It is. I can't imagine it. You know, you already have so many things to do on your plate. So what you would need to do is just get very familiar with what is going on in the classroom. Try to find out and, you know, go into that school, speak to those teachers, identify what's happening in the classroom. What does it look like? What does the work look like outside of what comes back to you? Because there may be work that is getting passed to this child, but not coming back to you. Right. So understanding the, you know, you just have to get very familiar with what is happening in that school so you can plan accordingly, you know? So setting a specific schedule, consistency is so important for students, and all the way down to where they do their work. Do not have them do their work in their bed. They won't go to sleep. And they'll go to sleep when they're doing work.
It's so true. I feel like I've lived my life through your experiences because, you know, especially high school, they would go to their room and I was like, no. And one thing I want to share that worked for us was mirroring. If my son, if it was like in the evening, if I had work to do, I said, come down here, do your work with me. And when you're working and they can see you, that is a really great opportunity. And take it. Or if you have two kids and they're both doing their homework, you know, mirroring. And what we say by mirroring is seeing the other person work and encourages the other person to work. So that's a good idea. But I did want to ask you, going back to parents that maybe cannot afford a tutor, are there grants, are there resources from the government that can help them?
Absolutely. You just have to do your research. So it depends on where you live. It depends on the age of the student. There are a lot of free tutoring places out there. And even sometimes the library has programs as well. So utilizing that. And there are some websites. As an adult, I don't need academic tutoring, but there's a lot of things in my business that I don't know how to do. And there is no business tutor, you know, so right. Google and YouTube and looking at how to do those different things, you know, I think the biggest skill that you can give your child is not having them have this expectation that they have to get everything right, but they they need to know how to do research. And if they don't know the answer, how can I find the answer? As a student, I struggled, but I was shy. I was so afraid to raise my hand in class because I didn't want people to know that I didn't know the right answer. But my mom
met her, so I know. I'm like, that is no way. I mean, she saw her going, right?
Yes. This was in third grade. And so in a way, I don't know if it was nice or not, but my mom was like, you need to open your mouth. And so I ask questions all day long, you know, mm-hmm. so encourage that constant learning, even if they're asking you questions, like just open that up, because you don't want to have an adult when they get into a room, they don't know what's going on. They go, I don't know what's going on, you know, so encouraging
that. I love that answer. I don't know. Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
So that's really great. And also talk to your school. Talk to your teacher, yes. Talk to your, you know, the counselors there. They may have opportunities for you. If your student is failing in school, when is it that they need to take action on that? I mean, first of all, immediately, but when, sometimes it's too late, right? You get, it's like past, you know, mid-quarter. And what do you do? What do you do in those situations?
Yeah. A lot of times I like to relate things to other things. So this is kind of like getting sick, you know, you want to prevent it before it happens. Mm-hmm. So if you know maybe your child struggled with something last year, they are going to a new school or something like that, you want to be very proactive on the front end.
Yes.
Now, say, as many parents do, you kind of run out of time, things get away from you, it's mid-year, and they're failing. And of course, you ask the kid, and they're like, I don't know, you know? Right. So, and look, don't take that answer. I don't know how many parents I've spoke to, they're like, I don't know why they're failing. They said they turned everything in. Yeah. I was like, okay, it's good to believe in your kid, but like, come on now.
Right,
so
exactly.
What I would do if I was a parent and my child was failing, and things that I've seen that parents have done that have worked, have a powwow with a meeting with every single one of their teachers, mm-hmm. and ask the teacher, what is happening when my child is in the classroom? When you're talking to the teachers, you also want to make sure you maintain a neutral tone, because exactly. sometimes some teachers, they'll be like, why is my child failing? You failed my child. And then you know,
it's your fault.
Right. Just say, I just want to know what happens. What happens on a day-to-day base?
Yeah.
And how can we create a plan? And now a lot of schools do like holistic things when a child is failing. So they don't just look at grades, they look at behavior too, you know? So
absolutely. It may be,
that's another thing. Look, they may be failing because they don't like somebody in the class. And every right. time they open their mouth, they bully them at lunch and nobody knows about it. You know, so you really have to kind of dive in and kind of identify what is the true issue. Because a lot of the time it's a social thing, or maybe yeah. they're trying to fit in, you know.
Exactly.
So getting down to that, making a plan, being patient and being consistent and constantly, my mom's stayed on us. She stayed on us. And I didn't understand why. But now I see the benefit of, you got to know exactly, you know, they have the grade books online now. So every time something, my mom would be in the grade book before the teacher even put the score in.
Exactly. Now, okay, I've got one question around that. I know it happens in colleges. I don't know about high school, but you to get access to your students' work in college, I believe you have to ask for permission or get the students' permission. And I would say for every parent, it's important to do that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's a form that you can fill out, but also have a conversation with your student. Like, this is why I would like to be a part of this, because I want to help you, not say like, I don't trust you. You never want to establish yes. that tone.
Yeah.
I'm also a big advocate for community college. I went to a four-year
university. Absolutely.
But my God, I'm so glad. Like, I would come home for the summers and take college courses that were like under $200. And they mm-hmm. would have been $1,000 at the mm-hmm. universities. So utilize community colleges. Do not sleep on them. When your child goes to get that job, they're not going to see, well, where did you get your English credits from? Like, they just yeah. want to see if the degree is done. And that's yeah. that, you know? So, and that's another way you can also ease them into having that autonomy before yes. you just drop them off, be like, look.
And, you know, maturity, right?
Yes.
Maturity.
Yes.
Sometimes they're just not ready. They don't yes. know it. maybe you don't know it, but sometimes they are not ready. And community college is usually smaller classes. There's more resources. There's, you know, if they have ADHD or a learning disability, there's the 504s, there's the IEPs. There's a lot of things that are available for your students. So check into all of that. So I appreciate that. When, and I know we're starting to go from higher up, but when should students start planning for college? Because in today's world, colleges are different than they were when I went to college.
Yeah, they are.
Why? Why is that?
Well, just the nature is changing a lot. I will say they are a lot more expensive. The focus is a lot different. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of kids, for me, are excited to just leave and go somewhere else. You know, so, and I love where I came from. yeah. So they're like, but they don't understand, like, you know, what it all comes out to be. So what I am saying is, when is it a good time to start preparing for college? I will say we have to be mindful. Instead of preparing for college, your goal needs to be, how can I prepare them to be a independent adult? So it may not be at college as how we think of it, like do the 4-year thing and go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But can your child function without you? You know, like let's start there. Do they have like autonomy, independence? And also understanding that when you sign on that dotted line, like that could be anywhere from 10 grand to 30 grand. You know, we're seeing in the news these student loans is crazy. And a lot of parents who are really trying to get them prepared, they start talking about college in eighth grade. Eighth grade. I don't know. I can't remember what I wanted to be in eighth grade. No. I knew I wanted to get out of Texas.
Then when you graduate college, sometimes it changes 2 or 3 times.
It changes. So ask them what they're interested in. Mm-hmm. Have them shadow somebody. Do an apprentice. When I was in college, I wanted to be a journalist. We had a journalist come to the school and she told us that she woke up every day at 3 a.m. She never got holidays. She was always running around getting stories and she never got credit for them. I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. You know, but they need to know, because I would have got this whole degree and not like followed through with it. So making sure they understand like what can be utilized, because college is not going to do anything but get more expensive. So you want to make sure you're making a good return on your investment, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I always say, if they fail out of college the first time, if they go back, you've got to make them have skin in the game. They've got to be a part of it somehow, some way, because this is a second chance and they may have blown it. You want to support them, but make them be a part of it. Whether it's, okay, you're going to do tutoring. If you don't, you're not going to go here or something. Make them have skin in the game because it's their future. And that's what's important, right?
Exactly. And understand that everybody's journey is different. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't do well in that college, what was with that college that, like, how can we make sure that we don't repeat that? What can we learn from that? Because it's not just failing college, like they're going to fail at a lot more things in life. So it's about how they get up and they utilize that to make them a better student.
Beautiful. Beautifully said. Exactly. So awesome. Well, I could talk to you all day long. You are so fun. If you are looking for a virtual tutor or a tutor, you're based in Chicago, right?
Yes. Okay.
So if you're looking for a tutor in Chicago, you don't have to look anymore. If you're looking for a virtual tutor, you've got to check her out. Her name is Gabrielle Gator.
Gator. Alligator.
She's lovely and she's wonderful. But before we go, I have one last question for you. So this is all about focusing. And again, we all are focused, but we all get where we're not focused. And so one question I ask is, if you're getting into your car and you're going to that meeting or on the train, you forgot your stuff. You're not there. You're just not there today, right? What is the name of the song or the artist or genre that you listen to that gives you game on?
Absolutely. It has changed. The album is called Renaissance by Beyonce. And the song on that album that I love, and it's almost like an affirmation or like a something I repeat that keeps me calm me down. It's called Heated. And literally over and over, she's like, I need to cool it down because I'm getting heated. So if I am like doing too much and like you have to tell yourself I'm okay, I need to calm down. So I let Beyonce remind me that I need to do that. Got a lot of style, got a lot of Tiffany on me. I gotta fan myself off. I gotta fan myself off. I gotta cool it down. You and me.
I love that. That's awesome. Wonderful. We've never had that mentioned on here. So that's wonderful. So again, yes, I can't thank you enough. Like I said, if you are looking for to She is dynamite. She's got a great personality. The minute you meet her, you just think, I have to work with this person. She's really great. She's honest. She's ethical. And she would give your student the best attention possible. So, Gabrielle, thank you so much. It was a blessing that I was able to meet you at a conference. And I graciously appreciate you being on this podcast.
Absolutely. It has been so fun. And I could, like I said, I could talk to you all day as well.
That's great. Okay, everyone, have a great week.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus the Creative Office. If you haven't gotten your calendar this year, let me tell you, we have a different methodology and I hope it works for you because it works for so many people. But go to the website time2refocus.com, and we have them in white and in purple with marble and black. But the difference is it's spiral bound. The cover, you can't bend it, break it, scratch it, tear it. It's got heavyweight paper, to-do list between the months, and it just works. Plus we have matching to-do list legal pads. So check those out. We are going to be having a podcast coming up on products that help with chronic pain. It is so hard to work if you have chronic pain, and I get it. There's a couple of products that you may or may not know about. One of those is Hidow, Hidow.com. And if you use the promo code time, time2refocus.com. Also, plus CBD, we've got a link on our website, but you can put time2refocus.com on that link as well. But check us out. Make sure to sign up, by the way, on our Refocus the Creative Office website. That's time2refocus.com. We have gotten 3 new products that will be launching in, I believe, March or April. And we're only going to let the people that listen to this podcast know about them first. So sign up at time2refocus.com. But no matter what, have a great week. And don't forget to stop, take a moment, and refocus.